If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the one divine love that we are each embodiments of. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, You Can Trust Your Destiny. So, if you're ready to consider this, let's take a deep breath together and open yourself for the inflow of your divine spirit to fully inhabit your vehicles of consciousness and manifestation. Flood your mind with your ancient knowledge, the wisdoms that you have been amassing for eons and eons. Nothing is lost that is ever touched into your awareness as light and truth. You can never lose the self that is, that you are. Now take another deep breath and let go anything that would serve as a barrier of your own self. Limitation. Let it fall away, dissolving back into the nothingness from which it only seemed to appear. Open yourself to your own diaphanous being. With no withholds. Let every barrier to the love that you are, that is, fall away. You can trust your destiny. Maybe you never even considered that you have a prescripted destiny. Because you see, your passage in the dream field that you call your daily life is a series of repetitive dreams that you have projected so that you can enjoy the adventures of consciousness. You are the supreme awareness. And the only problem is that you have forgotten that and you are more identified with the serial dreams that you've taken to be your reality. And so each week, each seminar, we call you to awakening to that part of you that has never left that state. Absolute being, absolute bliss, an omnipresent ecstasy and knowing. That part of you beyond any dream of birth and death, of any dream of being confined in a body, of any dream of death and disease and pain and suffering. That part of you has remained absolutely untouchable and unaffected by all of these dream episodes. In the daytime, you pass from dream to dream, imagining them to be encounters with real people in real situations. But in truth, you but meet yourself. There is none other. The things you see in others are but things within your own self, unrecognized. The things you love and appreciate are the qualities within your own self. The things that you hate and detest are but the parts of yourself that you've yet to embrace in unconditional love. And so it's an interesting journey, this, because we fall asleep at night and we have other dreams. And other dimensions that we have imagined exist. They are all places within the consciousness, within the mind. The mind and the consciousness are not inside the brain. They are transcendental to the dream field. And yet, they become enmeshed and entrapped within the dream field by your identifying with them and becoming locked by desire. So you can trust your destiny is unfolding and fulfilling all of your desires. Fulfilling all your desires. Must fulfill your desires. Because you are recognized throughout all of creation as God Source Energy. God Source Energy. You are the Force itself. You are the force of the original intention of the One to come forth as the Many, to enjoy the interplay within what we call the ocean of consciousness. But consciousness is of the mind, and you are primordial awareness. Beyond the mind, transcendental to the mind. And so when you live from that space, you can enter into the field of consciousness, the ocean of flux and change, of the cycles of appearing and disappearing, of the ebbs and flows of life, and you can play in them and enjoy them without entrapment. And that is what awakening is all about. To be free to enter in the dream fields of forms, the manyness, but never forgetting who you really are. Which is all, and everything. So the mind is nothing but the warp and woof of desires, like a handkerchief. If you pull a thread of the handkerchief, and another, and another. Eventually, there's no more handkerchiefs. Like that, as you become aware and awaken to the individual desires that bind you to returning again and again and again in unconscious living, eventually the mind is undone and dissolved. So the mind is the form that the separated sense of self takes. It is the idea of separation from the all that is. It's something the ego makes up. And what is the ego? The mind that has identified with being separate. Separate from what? From source. From love. From life. But mostly the sense of separation from you as the Atma. So the ego comes forward always with a sense of lack, neediness, wanting, desiring. Because if you're not connected and aware of your identity as the all that is, of course you're going to feel lacking, aren't you? No ego, no lack. No lack or sense of lack. No desires. How could you, the immortal spirit itself, the all that is, have any need or lack or desire? It's a matter of identification, isn't it? You know, in this incarnation, this being that's speaking to you, has had many, many encounters with the illumined men and women on the planet, maybe over 100. But I was thinking today about one of them that really stuck out in my mind and was very influential in my life. And this was Swami Satchidananda. And he gave a talk at the University of California in Santa Barbara, about 1970. And I can to this day remember his talk and also the chant that he led us in after his talk, which was Om Shanti. But Swami Satchidananda said, if you list all of your desires, all of the things you believe belong to you, all of the things that you want to have happen in your life, that will give you an idea of how far you are from peace. I never forgot that. And when a person who is enlightened speaks to you, that's actually realized the self. The words penetrate deep, and they leave a lasting impression within your energy field. And you never forget them. Now, given I was a very young person at that time, and I had never really thought about desires or anything of that nature, nor did I have peace as a goal that I was pursuing. No, I had a huge sense of destiny that was pressing on me. And I can remember at the time saying to my husband at the time, that I felt like I was a racehorse being confined to walk around in a pony ride for children. I felt like I was going to burst with a sense of destiny. And indeed, I went on to live a tremendous life filled and fulfilling that great calling that I had, even as a child pressing upon me. What was the calling? It was to travel all over the world and help people make that divine connection, which I've been doing since the age of 8. Why was I doing that? Because I was in the dream of believing I was a person that had a destiny within a world of time and space and events that had to be fulfilled. But you see, that was my own destiny unfolding. Because you have to fulfill all of your desires. Everything that you have set in motion must be fulfilled, because you are the living word that speaks, whether you're aware of it or not. And no word that you speak can return unto you vain without manifesting at some level. And then, because you're the initiator and creator of that momentum, where is it to go? It has to stay with you as part of your consciousness. It has to be in there with you, because ideas leave not their source. No more than you, as an idea of love, could ever leave the heart of God. We're talking about a very profound principle here, that it's impossible for anything to leave the Creator. I'm speaking to you now as an emanation of creative energy and the creations you send forth, and your desires, your wishes, your hopes, your prayers cannot leave you. But what happens is that they begin to build up and build up and build up if you're not actively participating in their expression. For some reason, you hold back and block your energies. You feel unworthy. You feel like you don't know enough. You feel like you have to be more enlightened. You feel like you have to get it, whatever it is that you think you have to get. You're identifying with a phenomenal form, the personality, this little tiny, what would you call it, that needs a cup of coffee in the morning and looks at itself in the mirror. That's not you. That's a dream figure in your imagination. But when you awaken to that, oh, you can do what is called in Sanskrit the divine lila. You can enjoy the play, because you know you're making it all up. You have created everything and drawing it into yourself, because ideas leave not their source. Your creations cannot leave you. When people say they need to get away from themselves, when people say, I need my space, when people say, I want to get away from it all, I want to go on a vacation, I want to change the scene, when people say they're suffering from a psychic attack, when people say, oh, the goblins are after me, or the ghosts, or the whatevers, the evil aliens, or whatever, are after me. Do you know what's after them? Their own thought forms, their own interpretations about all of that. And they can't get away from it. They can't get away because their children within their own mind, within their own consciousness, and they are responsible for those creations. So what do? Well, very often they turn to drink or drugs or some form of addictive pattern, trying to numb out or dull or silence or still that pressure that keeps niggling at them, that doesn't let them have a moment of rest and peace. And those are the desires and all of the things that Swami Satchitananda was speaking of that keep us from peace. Do know that there is no will separate from the one will that is. The one will that is, that you sometimes refer to as God's will, that people are afraid of because they think God's will is separate and is going to make them want to do some, make them do something that they don't want to do. Do you know that's impossible? Because there is only one will. There's only one life. There's one supreme spirit. There's one mind. There's one love. There's one awareness. There's one. And you are an embodiment, a manifestation of that one, whether you know it or not. It's not dependent on you knowing, you understanding, or you doing anything at all. It's destiny fulfilling energies that have been set in motion. And so that one will, I'm quoting from the Course in Miracles now, God's will for you is perfect happiness and peace. Now, isn't that your will as well? Of course it is. So back behind all desires, all addictive patterns, all the searching and the seeking and the desiring and the angst and the agony and all of it is the singular desire to be what you are, to be who you are. Okay, call it love. The single desire for love. But God is love. And so really what you're seeking, behind all of it, is yourself as love, or God as love. But yourself and God and love are identical. They're the same thing. There's no difference. There's no such thing as your love and God's love and their love. And no, it's all nonsense. There's one love. And it bears no resemblance to desire. It is desire, which is a very manifestation of the ignorance of self. You could not have a desire if you weren't totally ignorant of who you are and what you are. So desire necessitates rebirth. Desire is the only cause of your being in a body on earth at this time. You had desires. And so your destiny is about the fulfilling of all your desires. But you know what? There has to be an ability for you to receive whatever it is you've desired. You have to be in a position, in a condition and circumstance to where that particular desire can be fulfilled. And that may be 100 lifetimes in the future. That's also a dream and made up, but time, space, and becoming are all illusions that the mind has projected out of ignorance. But let's say you want something, but to prepare your ability to receive of it's going to take many, many more lifetimes. Now, I don't say that to discourage you, because anything that would position a separation and a need for you to do anything is part of the ego's strategy to keep you seeking and never finding, to keep you delaying and never accepting and embodying. That's the whole thing that the ego drums up, is all of these limitations, yes buts, that go out. People will absolutely defend their ignorance. It's the strangest thing. You tell somebody, I can see that you have experienced God. I can see it in your eyes. Oh no, I've not experienced God. Oh no, I've got too bad, you know, bad karma, whatever, whatever. That is such nonsense. But you know what? That's what the ego, the sense of ourself as separate from God, does. That's what the shenanigans of the ego mind is up to. And you know something that's interesting with the ego's nightmare that we call this world that we look at when we turn on TV? It doesn't give you all bad stuff, right? You will have the duality of some good things mixed in with the bad things. But notice how consistent it is. The ego doesn't give you all bad stuff, because if it did, you would wake up sooner. The more you suffer, the more you're going to say, wait, there's got to be another way. I want to wake up. There's got to be something beyond this. So suffering is actually your best friend, because you will find a way to escape the suffering somehow. But the ego doesn't want you to escape the suffering, because then it would cease to exist. And even though it's just a little thought form of separation, that little thought of separation has created this whole phenomenal world, all of these universes, all of these psychic and material realms, the astral, the causal, the mental, the etheric, all of these realms and dimensions and universes and worlds and galaxies are simply the projection, the hiding place for the false self to get lost in. It hopes. It hopes to hide from God. It hopes to get lost so it won't be discovered and therefore be dissolved back into the loving. So it strategizes so that you have some good things that happen. But they only last for a little while. You get married to somebody that you absolutely adore. And maybe they find somebody else after a few years or months. Or maybe they have an accident, or maybe they die. That's not true either, but the ego wants to make you think that you're born and you're going to die. That's the ego's nightmare. That's the narrative of the false self that never was, parading and pretending as if it's the all that is. And then it will take on a spiritual form. It'll make you think that you're enlightened when you're not. It'll make you think you know something when you really don't. It'll make you think you're seeing something, which is an absolute illusion. Because the ego can't see anything as it truly is. But what is the ego? It is simply a thought form that you're separate from the all that is, that you truly are. So you can trust your destiny is unfolding and fulfilling all your desires. Everything. Every request. Every wish. Every prayer. You know the old saying, be careful what you wish for it just may happen? Well, I'm here to tell you that it absolutely, definitely will happen. Did you ever play the Aladdin's lamp game when you were a kid? Where you rub the Aladdin's lamp, whatever it is that you have there, and you're allowed three wishes. And only three. I don't know how many times I played that as a child. I think we all enjoy that. And probably you've all seen the movie or read the book, The Secret. Well, if you saw the DVD, do you remember the scene where the giant genie appears and says, your wish is my command? And probably, you know, most of us have fantasized, wow, I'd like that. But gosh, what would I really wish for? And so, it's like that. The only thing is, we don't realize we're actually the genie. And that invisible substance that we call the all that is God power essence that's invisible and intangible takes form according to our wish. That our wish, our desire, our thought forms actually give a mold, a form, a vehicle for that invisible substance to manifest into tangible reality. And that, beloved, is your life. That, beloved, is my life. That, beloved, is our life. And so you can look around your environment and realize that everything you see is there because you wanted it there. At some point, you wanted that, whatever it is, to take invisible, the invisible, whatever that energetic represents, to take a form as that book, that picture, that object in your living room, that person sitting across from you, whatever, whatever. So get a sense that you live in the theater of your own mind. But creation itself, according to the great Lord Satya Sai Baba, great avatar, is a blank screen. There's nothing on it. The mind is the projector of the real, that you look upon that blank screen of creation and say, oh, that's a this and that's a that, and they're doing this and they're doing that. But no matter how many wars are depicted on that blank screen, when you go to a cinema, there's no blood on the screen. No matter how sad that story is, and you're sitting and weeping and everything, when the mind is retracted, i.e. the projector is turned off, there's no tears, there's no wetness on the screen. Nothing has happened. Nothing's been affected. And that's how it is. Our mind projects either through the clarity of direct awareness or the absolute illusion of the fictional self that we call ego. But we don't want to put too much identification with that sense of ego, because you're going to go blaming your ego. No, the ego is a no thing. The ego never existed. You are not ego. You do not have an ego. You simply have an idea of separation that needs correcting. That's all. You need to rethink and correct that idea by replacing it with truth. I am as God created me. I am one self, one with my Creator. I am that I am. Aham Brahmasmi. And on and on and on. But it's interesting. Do you know that the soul, the jivi, the individualized sense of self, which again is also a fiction, that in the Vedic scriptures we are called, soul is called, or jivis are called, the mind-born sons of Brahman. Who's that? It's you and me and everyone. Mind-born sons of Brahman, or God. So that's another way, an ancient Vedic way of saying the same thing that the Course says, that we are ideas in the mind of God that have left not their source. We are ideas of love within the heart and mind of God that have never left their source. And everything else is something the separated mind has made up. Simple. Truth is so simple. I am one self united with my Creator. One self, one Atma. One being that is all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-powerful. Take that out and have some tea under a tree with it. Sit down and host that thought for a while. Contemplate it, meditate it, until it begins to replace those thoughts that are utterly false, utter nonsense. Number one, that you're a human being. Number two, that you've ever been born. Number three, that you'll ever die. Number four, that you have to suffer and be punished for anything. Yeah, karma, reincarnation, all of that stuff is ego-tainted storyline. We're talking here about pure Advaita, pure monism. God is all that is. And you are that. And, you know, there's easier paths. But this is a talk for those souls that have had it. You know, it's enough already. And for those that are ready to awaken, this is their message. If you're not ready to awaken, that's okay. You know, it's your choice. Everything is your choice. That's what you have to understand. Everything is your will. Everything is as you wish. Everything. Well, what if your life is a living hell? You thought at some level that whatever it is you're experiencing was going to give you something you wanted at some point. But since the ego self, the separated self, has no idea what it wants, it doesn't know what it wants, and it wouldn't recognize it if it did, because it's completely ignorant. The ego self is not a real self. It's the idea of separation from good, from God, from love, from worthiness, from worthwhileness, from immortal life, all of which is absolutely impossible. So what you have to remind yourself is, no matter what you dream you have done, it has left no effect. No more than your dreams at night have left an effect on you. Oh, they might leave a bad taste in your mouth, or a sense of doom and gloom if they've been negative or a little scary. But you soon forget them. You know, you have a cup of coffee, some breakfast, you go out and continue your day, and you forget them. They've left no lasting impression. Many of us have had dreams where we've been, we've fallen off of the cliff, and but notice how you always wake up before you hit ground. Or somebody's, trying to kill you or whatever. Notice how you never really die. Oh, sometimes you even dream you die. But actually, when you do that, you're simply transitioning into the next dimension, and the mind interprets that as you were killed. Which is the same drama that's enacted when your body is killed in this daydream. You simply are transitioned to another dimension of consciousness, but you still continue living. Nobody dies. Do you realize when something is birthed by life itself, the idea of love as the many that arose within the mind of the one, that nothing can touch it, nothing can affect it, nothing can destroy it? It says in the Bhagavad Gita that water can't destroy it, fire can't burn it. Nothing can happen to you, the real you, nothing. You are absolutely affected by only your thoughts. Nothing else has the power to make you sad or happy or sick or depressed. That's all mind game stuff. Mind game has nothing to do with you. So you can trust your destiny is unfolding. And lest you think you are a victim of yourself, actually the only victim is the idea of victimhood. You do need to be taught how to think with God rather than with the ego. You need to learn to identify yourself with the soul or with spirit or with Atma rather than with your human personal self. You have to train yourself to identify with spirit rather than the human physical body and the thoughts that run through your mind. Most of which mean absolutely nothing, which is a good thing. It's a good thing that your thoughts are meaningless. Because if you could hold on one long enough and focus on it long enough, you'd probably manifest . Oh, I could get so esoteric with this, but I want to keep it simple. If you want esoteric, read the Alice Bailey books or something like that. But there again, that's more storyline. You know, it's more storyline. I have to tell you that all of this is stories the mind has made up to explain what never happened. To explain what never happened. And 99% of everything you read in the New Age venue, in the spiritual world, in the esoteric occult world, all of it is made up by the mind that bought into the fact it was separate, bought into the illusion that it believes is factual of separation. But things are what they are, whether we believe them or think of them or understand them or not. But ponder the fact that everything you experience is nowhere but within your own mind. Your own mind. That everyone you see outside of yourself is another you. That's how the Mayans greet each other, as another you. And so that is absolutely how we meditate ourselves free, is that we train ourselves to look beyond the form and its behavior. That's what forgiveness is in terms of the Course in Miracles. There's no need for God to forgive because God never judged. There's no reason for you to forgive as soul because or spirit because you don't judge. Judgment is always of the ego. Always. And the ego is very vigilant to notice the ego in other people. That's how you can tell that it's the ego, because it always projects guilt and blame outside of itself. Always. So when a person, for example, comes to a guru and then later accuses that guru of doing whatever, 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 it has nothing to do except the ego is projecting its own guilt in that form, which is also projected, that they call the guru. And so the ego loves to spread stories about how this ego or this guru did this or this politician did that or this person did this and this and that. Consider that these are all manifestations of yourself and your own self-indictment that you have not yet owned and taken responsibility for healing. So you but give to yourself, you but heal yourself, you but forgive yourself, you but receive in exact measure what you give to another. Please remind yourself there are no others. There is only yourself. And your destiny is prescripted. Predestined. An example that John Roger used to give that I really, really, really liked. He said, if you go to Disneyland or one of those places that have the, you know, those, I used to go on the Jungle Cruise. I don't think they have it anymore in Disneyland, but it's my favorite ride. And they had a series of these ships with the captains that were, you know, people playing the role of the captain. And the ship was actually tethered underneath by a big cable that pulled it along the jungle river route on the ride to a predestined place where it docked and took on more, you know, people that wanted to go on the ride. But the captain at the helm of the ship was going through all these gyrations. You know, he was twisting and turning and looking like he was dodging the alligators and the hippopotamus and, you know, all the things that would come up out of the water during the ride. And all the time, the ship was on that cable that was going to go to its destination, whether or not that guy was pretending to be the captain or not. Consider that the ego sense of separated self is exactly like that captain, going through all this gyration as if it was in, as if he were in control, as if he had any influence whatsoever about the predestined route of that ship, which we could say is a metaphor for your life. Your life is on a predestined cable within your own mind. And your ego thinks it's in control. Big nonsense. Who is in control? You are, but at the transcendental level of the Atmic Self. And everything that's happening has already happened and been fulfilled beyond time, beyond illusion, in the fullness of being, which remains still unaffected. So your choice is to bring your awareness present into your fullness of being, into your ancient wisdoms. You've all had lifetimes. Certainly everyone that listens to these seminars is an old soul that's had constant lifetimes, again and again, of being a yogi and a mystic and a priest and a nun and an anchorite and a renunciate. And you've probably done everything you can think of to awaken. But simply sit down and be quiet. And be. But you know what? It takes an awful lot of running around and chasing your tail, so to speak, until you finally fulfilled all the momentums you set into motion and worn yourself completely out before you're ready to do that. So that's why you can trust that your destiny is unfolding. If you're running around like a Mad Hatter or whomever or whatever, that's part of your destiny, that you're fulfilling lots and lots and lots and lots of momentums that you've set into motion, and you're responsible for them. You have to either outgrow them, transcend them, or absolutely fulfill them. But you can't fool yourself. You can't pretend like you have no desires. And you're not fulfilled until you're fulfilled. I can speak on that somewhat because my life, my prescripted, destined life, this time around, in this dream, I came in with a heritage of fulfillment. And so I was kept very, 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 very busy. Never allowed to stay any place and anything in any relationship too long. It was next and next and next and next and next. I have lived six, maybe more, lifetimes within this one, fulfilling everything that I needed to have fulfilled. But it's only been in maybe the last 10, 11 years where I have not been constantly traveling and constantly working with people, constantly doing workshops, that I've had solitude and silence 95% of those 10 years, those 11 years, to where I recognize that I am completely fulfilled now. I can't think of anything I desire, anything at all that I really want. There's nothing left that I want to do. I've done it all. I've traveled all over the world many, 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 many times. 29, I think, last count. And I've had a wonderful, adventuresome, exciting, crazy life. Wonderful life. My friend and I were talking the other day about, our past lives and what was our favorite past life. And I thought, and I said, you know what? My favorite life actually is this one. This is absolutely my most favorite life because I have been able to do everything that I ever wanted to do. I have had every experience that I ever wanted to have. I've had every adventure, everything. I can't think of anything, any place I want to go. No place. There's no place I want to go. I'm living exactly where I want to live. I'm doing exactly what I want to do, but without any kind of attachment to it. If it all ended the next instant, I would be free and clear. And I've looked at this and looked at this to make sure I wasn't fabricating some story that was not real. I don't want to lie to myself and get into speaking about something that isn't actually true. But I've looked at this often enough and tested it often enough in the last 11 years that I can see that it keeps holding steady. So apparently I have fulfilled the heritage of fulfillment that was my destiny in this particular incarnation. So you might want to, or not, if it's your destiny to inquire into this, you will do that. And if it doesn't appeal to you, that's fine. Because you always get it your way. It's always your way. Do you realize there is no other way but your way? Your way is the way for you. But do know that all of the desires of your heart, the deepest desires, must be fulfilled unless you change your mind. Unless you change your mind. But begin by considering that everybody that you see is an incarnation of your own self. Start with that. When you watch the television and you hate what's happening in the news, look past that and realize, oh, I forgive myself for judging myself for doing that. In other words, you look past and you realize that's your own self that you're judging. And you know it's your judgment and your grievances that hide your ability to see what's going on. Every time you set yourself against another person, which is really your own self, you've blocked your own self-realization. And that's why we need to forgive all things. Because as we forgive, we set ourselves free. There is no other out there. There is only your own self that you have objectified. That separated sense of self, the ego, has objectified as another person out there. All life is one. So we need to be alike to everyone. No pointing fingers, no judging, no grievance. because that is what hides the light of the world that you are and confines you to ignorance and darkness and despair. The incarnation of God that you are can never find happiness and fulfillment except in the recognition of your oneness with Source. You can look everywhere you want to, but you're only at home when you're at home in atonement with God. And you know, you can't use the word with. There is no with. There just is God. And when you're home in that, which is being centered in your core loving essence, that's home. That's your wheelhouse. That's what comes natural to you. Any other place is foreign to you, and you feel alien and alienated. And you are. You're not where you belong. You belong in the heart of God, consciously. That's where you find peace. That's where you find happiness. That's where you find fulfillment. And then you can wander throughout the dream fields and countless universes and know that you are that and never get fooled again with a labyrinth of mind creations and projections. And you may do that. You may desire to be a spiritual traveler, a mystical traveler, and walk as the awakened one in many, many realms of darkness and illusion. But you won't mistake yourself as a separate being ever again. That sense of separated personhood dissolves like a mist before the illumined revelation of who you truly are. So the one desire that you can have that will not bind you is any desire involving God, involving selfless service, involving love, but not attached love, not sentimental love, not lust-tainted love. That's not love, that's desire. Pure love has no element at all of desire connected to it. There's no sexual desire in pure love. That doesn't mean that you can't make love, but it will not be because of sexual lust, but simply an extension of the oneness. So it's not through abstinence and any of that, or self-denial, any of that, that brings you to full awakening. It's remembering that you remain as God created you. Period. I am as God created me. It's a lesson in A Course in Miracles. You might want to really have tea with that one. So I hope this has been helpful. Let's go out chanting Anai Hu. Anai Hu. Anai Hu. Anai Hu. Blessings. blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.